Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and creative entrepreneur, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on writing, publishing options, and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free author blueprint, and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode number 409 of the podcast. And it's Sunday, 30th of December, 2018, as I record this back in Bath in England. And to be honest, I am a little worse for wear after the 28-hour flight. I do have my melatonin for sleep patterns, but boy, it doesn't help the energy depletion after that killer flight and off the back of 3 weeks of pretty intense family time. I talked a bit about the health issues that some family are going through, and also, of course, too much food and drink and stress and all the wonderful things that I'm sure you have been through as well. So I am doing my 2018 roundup in today's show, some thoughts on overarching changes for the year, my books of the year, and a bit of a mindset shift for me, and also whether I met my goals and why I didn't make some of them. And I hope it will help you reflect on your creative year. And I will be separating out this year. I'm doing 2018 look back today, and tomorrow on New Year's Day, I'm going to do an extra edition looking forward into 2019, my goals, but also looking at some of the trends and stuff that I think is coming and what I'm excited about. Because to be honest, I'm not an end of year person. I am not a look back type of person. I look forward and I enjoy moving forward. And this was brought home to me this holiday. I was at a 70th birthday, and the speaker mentioned one moment, well, the first moment, a sort of pinnacle life moment, and it actually was over half a lifetime ago in terms of their life. And I was listening to it, and it really struck me that I do not want my best years to have been half a lifetime ago, regardless of when I pop off, shuffle off the mortal coil. I want to always be looking to what I can achieve next. Yes, I love being grateful for what I have and what I've done, and but I don't know about you, but when I finish a book, I'm like, okay, what's the next one? You know, the addiction for me is the creative process, and it's also the excitement of learning new things, of discovering new things, of being part of a world which is changing so fast. And that doesn't scare me, it excites me. And yeah, so I'm far more excited about the future edition, which is tomorrow's show. And also, I should hopefully have some more energy. But I also, when I was away, I talked to a 15-year-old and had a really interesting discussion about blockchain and AI and the way the world is from a 15-year-old's perspective, and also a 22-year-old entrepreneur about the current tech and financial environment. And I was really thrilled that I could hold my own, and I got more annoyed with the some people who were not able to discuss what's going on. And so I think I wanted to say this up front, because yes, I'm looking back today, but for us, it's always about looking forwards. It's always about, yeah, making the most of our backlist and all of that. But creation and writing is always fundamentally underpinning what we do. But publishing, marketing, creative entrepreneurship, macro world stuff, which I'm going to touch on briefly, all of this moves on. And we are in this creative milieu, this scene. And yeah, I really value it. But I value what is coming. And I will continue to try and ride the wave and hope that you will come along with me as well. So in publishing news this week, I thought one very interesting thing is that Amazon's Alexa crashed on Christmas Day, as reported by The Guardian, due to the sheer number of people plugging in their new Echoes. And VentureBeat reports that Amazon purchases through Alexa this holiday tripled year over year. So people are buying stuff through Alexa. And Digital Trends has a really interesting article on the milestones of 2018 for the Alexa technology. And very interested because at CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, which Christine Catherine Rush is going to. So I'm really looking forward to her report. But basically, the Alexa technology is in more and more things. And this voice tech, looking back, there's been a lot of development on that this year. The Echo has been the biggest seller for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all of this. And I'll talk a bit about this more in my 2019 look ahead. But I thought it was an interesting news item for publishing that Alexa crashed on Christmas Day because of how many people were like, asking for their stories or what the weather is or for Christmas songs. Those were probably the biggest things. The second interesting thing, and this is fascinating because I didn't even know that this was a thing, for the first time in more than 20 years, copyrighted works will enter the public domain. So this is really interesting. At midnight on New Year's Eve, all works first published in the United States in 1923 will enter the public domain. It's been 21 years since the last mass expiration of copyright, and hundreds of thousands of books, musical compositions, paintings, poems, photographs, and films are coming into the public domain, which means they can be re-released. Like, anyone can publish these. I mean, there will be a whole load of re-releases by people who will not sell a single copy. This is the thing to remember about public domain. But it is a really interesting thing for creativity. Copyright law in general is an interesting thing for creativity. But this one says the release is unprecedented, and its impact on culture and creativity could be huge. I'm quoting from the Smithsonian magazine. We have never seen such a mass entry into the public domain in the digital age. The last one in 1998, when 1922 slipped its copyright bond, predated Google. So this is fascinating. And it says, we can blame Mickey Mouse for the long wait. In 1998, Disney was one of the loudest in a choir of corporate voices advocating for longer copyright protections. And then it says, Much the same will happen every January the 1st until 2073, revealing long overlooked works from the Harlem Renaissance, the Great Depression, World War II, and beyond. So this is really fascinating. And one of the things that the New York Times reports that is coming out, because apparently publishers have been getting ready for this for a while, there is a new edition of Khalil Gibran's The Prophet, which I bet you loads of you have, with an introduction by Rupi Kaur, the Instagram poet who has, I think, just completely changed the poetry environment with her innovative use of Instagram and became a New York Times bestseller with her poetry, and started in self-publishing, obviously got a massive book deal off the back of her huge platform. Loads and loads of poetry is just going nuts right now. But this is a genius way to market something like The Prophet to a new generation. So the New York Times says The Prophet enters the public domain along with works by thousands of other artists and writers, including Marcel Proust, Willa Cather, D.H. Lawrence, Agatha Christie, Joseph Conrad, Edith Wharton, P.G. Woodhouse, Rudyard Kipling, Catherine Mansfield, Robert Frost, and Wallace Stevens. So, yeah, really interesting. And I also think January 2019 has the EU copyright directive being ratified. It's unlikely to stop at this stage, but those people who are concerned about it, the EU directives are like a directive, and each country has their own choice as to how they put that into law. And of course, we have Brexit, so who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, I'm really interested in this public, you know, this stuff coming into public domain about how the discussion of intellectual property rights and copyright law will continue in 2019. This is a big deal, folks. And as ever, this is something to take seriously because you are creating intellectual property. That is what we do as writers. So value it, my friends, value it. Do not sign contracts giving it away for very little, which is what a lot of the contracts are these days. Okay, too big a topic to get into there. So my personal update, of course, as I said, I've just got back. I have a ton of admin stuff. I have all the things that I just stopped doing 3 weeks ago. I'm getting organised for 2019. I'm culling my to-do list. And it's funny, you know how those things, your to-do list gets full of stuff that you think's really important. And then if you have a bit of a break, you get back to it and you go, oh, that's not really important. I think I'll just scrub it off my list. So that's quite good. I am QA listening to Valley of Dry Bones in audiobook format. So that will be out hopefully, well, as soon as I finish listening, I'll approve it and it will go through to audio and narrated by the wonderful Veronica Jaguer. I'm actually really enjoying listening to my own book. I think because I finished it in October and it came out in November. And, you know, when I finished a book, I'm like, okay, you know, bored now, next one. And listening to it again, actually, I've got an appreciation for my own writing. I'm quite enjoying it because I'd forgotten some of it. And yeah, I really feel like I've closed the loop on my research trips around San Francisco, New Orleans, and Spain. And it reminded me again of the serendipity of, or the synchronicity, I call it, the synchronicity, as Carl Jung says, about book research and story ideas, you know, particularly when you write the types of books I do, which is they are thrillers, they are fiction, but I base them on truth and real history and real places and then just twist it slightly into fiction. And some of the synchronicity or coincidence that happened in the research for this book was crazy. So, yeah, I'm sort of reminded of that as I listen to it again, which is cool. All right, so thanks for all your emails and tweets. As ever, I wanted to say particularly a thank you to Bernie Anderson, who wrote a lovely blog post about what he's learned from the podcast. Thank you so much, Bernie, and really happy to see him reiterate some of the things I harp on about a lot. Like doing it for the long term and doing the work. And he also says a successful author, becoming a successful owner is a journey. Author is a journey, not a sprint. And when you think you're at the end, you're actually at the beginning. So always lovely to hear that I've been useful on your author journey. I think when I have time out to think about things, I often wonder whether or not my time is up in terms of have I delivered enough to the author community? Am I falling behind? Am I being replaced by new voices? And there's nothing wrong with that. These things happen. But when I hear stuff like that, and when I realise that I do play a place, I do play a different part of the author community, I think from some of what many of you have told me, and because of the Patreon, the growth in the Patreon support, for example, I still feel like I have a role. So I will continue in the next year. But anyway, other tweets. Alison Ingleby says baking in preparation for Christmas round two, which is probably New Year, and scribbling down notes from the podcast with Mark Leslie Lefebvre. I am still learning patience and persistence. Oh, we all are still learning. Those things. I'm glad you enjoyed the podcast, Alison. Jason Lavelle says, listening to the show while taking care of the kitties, and sent a lovely picture of Jason smiling with kittens. Everyone loves kittens. Monica Rodriguez, hi Monica, says, listening while cooking for Christmas dinner. Merry Christmas to indie authors everywhere. And finally, Holger Niels Pohl says, listening to the magnificent podcast while running near Cologne in Germany, and sent a little video of running. Well done, Holger. I must say I'm wearing my slightly bigger pair of jeans as we sort of get over the Christmas bloat. I am looking forward to getting back into some decent exercise. So today's show is sponsored by my own books, audiobooks and courses for authors. And if you want to take your author career to the next level in the coming year, then I definitely have something for you. Seriously, if I don't have something for you, you know everything. So just a couple of things. Obviously, I have like tons of books and courses and everything and audiobooks, but just a couple of things that you might find useful. The Successful Author Mindset, which is probably the book that I have to keep rereading because I really suffer from self-doubt still. Who doesn't suffer from self-doubt? So anyway, The Successful Author Mindset, if you want to help navigate the roller coaster of being a writer, if you want to write a novel this year or write a non-fiction book, I have multimedia courses on the craft side of things. And if you want marketing help, check out How to Market a Book in all the usual formats and also my course on content marketing for fiction. And if you want to make more money in 2019, check out How to Make a Living with Your Writing, my best-selling non-fiction book, because it has a killer title, and also Business for Authors, How to Be an Author Entrepreneur. And as ever, I have print books, ebooks, audiobooks, large print, workbooks, and courses, and much more. So check out thecreativepen.com and use the links for books, audio, courses, and more. Thanks also to everyone supporting the show on Patreon. Thanks to new patrons, Christy Anderson, Gabrielle Davis, Sarah Williams, Rebecca Cohn, and Rose Fairbanks. I really do appreciate your support on Patreon. Like your tweets and emails, it demonstrates you find the show useful and want it to continue. And remember, it's just less than a coffee a month, or a coffee a month if you're feeling generous, and you'll get the extra monthly Q&A audio, including the whole backlist. So lots more useful audio if you need some for your holiday listening. You can support the show at patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen. Right, let's get on with the look back at 2018. So another year turns. Can you believe it? It's crazy. But 2018 has actually been quite a big year for me as I reached 10 years of The Creative Pen. And considering many new companies don't make it past 5 years and many writers don't make it to full time, I'm pretty happy with my overall progress. But as ever, there is always room for improvement, and I love improving. I love learning. And in this section today, I'm going to look at some of the bigger shifts for the indie publishing environment, then look at the goals that I set at the beginning of 2018, look at what I achieved, what I didn't, and lessons learned. And as ever, all the notes and links and everything are in the show notes. You can go to thecreativepen.com/podcast, and this is episode whatever it is, 409. It should be pretty obvious. Yes, 409. And all the links. Plus, I'd love to know about you. So you can leave your comments and thoughts on your own progress in the comments. And of course, some people did post on the 1st of January last year. So if you are one of them, then come and reflect on what you did or didn't do this year. Let's keep each other accountable. Right, so in terms of some of the big shifts, I mean, obviously there's been so much news this year, I'm not going to recap that. But what I did feel is there has been a disruption to the status quo. Amusingly, at the end of 2017, I really felt that there had been a stabilisation. And in fact, my year end this time last year said stabilisation of the indie author business model, because it did. It felt like we had stabilised, we had everything we needed to write, publish, market, make a living, we had all the tools. But of course, nothing stays the same, everything changes. And so, unsurprisingly, this year, everything has changed. Well, not everything, but enough has changed that the standard advice that we've been giving for years now, actually, has now changed. So we saw pretty much the end of CreateSpace. It hasn't completely gone, but Amazon has started to move print book setup into KDP Print. Now, that kind of started to happen around the middle of the year. And as soon as I heard about this, very quickly I jumped over. I moved my books over because I spent 13 years implementing IT systems. I know that it's going to be painful, and I wanted to take advantage of the help desk before they were swamped. prompt. So I moved my books over early, and there was indeed some initial pain, and there has continued to be pain. But overall, I think that I can understand why Amazon's made this move. It's also meant that indie authors can now do Amazon ads for print books, which means they're, I think, what's going to happen is a bigger indie print share next year, which I'll talk more about in my 2019 thing tomorrow. But in terms of this is quite a big deal for everyone who's ever written any advice for authors, including myself, which up until now we've of course all said use CreateSpace, and now it's like use KDP Print. So that's a bit of a pain. There are pros and cons, but essentially that's the way it's going to be. I personally now use KDP Print alongside Ingram Spark for my print books, and I've expanded into large print and hardback editions in 2018. So I use both services. So when I do my books, I do my normal paperbacks on both services, my large print and workbooks on both services, and then my hardbacks on Ingram Spark because KDP Print doesn't do hardbacks. So that's sort of one big change in terms of the status quo. The other change that I really saw coming right in January when I was at the 20 Books to 50K London event was this real increasing split between the KU Amazon exclusivity business model and the wide publishing approach of multiple streams of income. And as ever, you know which side I come down on. But what's interesting this year is I just feel like there's been more and more of a split. There have been some very big winners in KU for sure, but many authors have felt that the increasing scams, technical headaches, and dependence on one platform are no longer worth it. There have been so many stories of things going wrong for people, and also just the general concern that, being inadvertently targeted by scammers or whatever can sort of end your platform. So there are lots of pros and cons as ever, but what is also interesting and what makes this even more divergent, I think, is the choice to go wide has become more attractive in 2018. Kobo Writing Life and Drafter Digital in particular have added a lot of expanded their offerings for authors, things like library distribution. And we've also seen the emergence of Publish Drive. They have been around a few years, but have become much more out there in 2018. I have joined them for Google Play and foreign markets, including China, that others don't reach. Plus, audio options have expanded with Findaway Voices. And there are more exciting audio things coming in 2019, which again, I'll talk about tomorrow. The other thing that has changed, and I think as I've talked about on the show, this is a shift that I felt. I think many of us kind of felt this in our soul. I did. I had a bit of a mourning moment around the Amazon ads thing. So it used to be the case that a new author could self-publish a book, stick it up on Amazon, and be assured of at least a few sales. And then, of course, KDP Select Free Days, Countdown Deals came along. Now, most authors have always done some form of paid marketing, but there were options for those with little to no budget, and you could at least count on some discoverability through just putting, having a book up there. But in mid-2018, this really shifted. When I was in Florida at NINC, the rumours were percolating, and I didn't really talk about it until others started saying things publicly as well. But September, things changed a lot, and now the consensus does really seem to be that it is a pay-to-play environment. Now, I link to the Economist article. Russell Blake has done an article on the state of the indie nation, which essentially says pay-to-play. Of course, Mark Dawson has a masterclass podcast, and I discussed this in episode 403 in more detail. But essentially, if you publish a book at this point, whether it's self-published or traditionally published, and I think this is where things are going to go a little wrong in 2019, because this is for traditional publishing too. If you just stick a book up there, it is unlikely to sell any copies. You might sell some to yourself and your friends, but you literally can't be seen anymore. You have to send traffic to your book somehow. Now, that could be your email list or someone else's, like BookBub, Freebooksy, other services. You can use paid ads, obviously, Amazon marketing services or other ads, Facebook ads, etc. Content marketing, which has always been my play, podcasting, video, social media, or other means. Now, all of these, I mean, I wrote my first edition of How to Market a Book in, I want to say 2012, I think. Marketing has always, always been important, but it felt like the shift has happened in terms of Amazon sales. And of course, there's no point in lamenting this. This is reality. All businesses have marketing costs, and it looks like our marketing costs have gone up. Now, I think I ethically don't like this because, and I say ethically, it's the wrong word. I feel uncomfortable with this because I've always believed that we are not in competition with each other. I have always felt like the more we help each other, the better we all do. And now it's kind of weird because we are actually competing for clicks. We are actually competing for keywords and competing with each other for ad space. And, you know, obviously, if you have an abundance mentality, as I do, and you know that you can never satisfy all your readers, then you just want to be associated with other authors. And in fact, this does make it easier for many people. But it is interesting because it does feel like a really big shift in the status quo. My response to this is I am doubling down on Amazon ads in the short term, but I am also building a new content site for my fiction, which I talk about in Content Marketing for Fiction course, and also I'll talk about it more in my 2019 goals. But this is kind of a larger sense of disruption in the status quo. And Christine Catherine Rush on chriswrites.com, K-R-I-S-Writes.com. Chris is doing a really fascinating series of posts, and because I support her on Patreon, I've read quite a lot of them, and then she posts them on her blog every Thursday. But there is one that is up there right now, The Current State of Disruption, which I've linked to in the show notes. But Chris talks about the inevitable plateau of sales in a disrupted market and explains the sort of different stages of disruption in that post. So I really recommend that. Links in the show notes as ever. But it does feel like taking for granted that what used to work will still work. This is just not true. And I've been around for a while now, and so I am certainly evaluating my own practices. So I hope that that's an interesting kind of look at some of the shift in the status quo for indies. So for this next section, I want to talk about disruption on a global scale, and I want to take you up a few levels because I've read a couple of books recently that have really opened my eyes to different possibilities, a new sense of what might be coming in the next, let's say 5 to 10 years. You know I'm a futurist, but these macro trends are just fascinating and may well transform our lives. And I want to ride those waves. And knowledge helps us position ourselves, so we're not afraid, we can see what's coming. So while the US and the UK have been caught up with Trump and Brexit, and our news has been doom and gloom, and of course, you might be listening in lots of other countries in the world where doom and gloom has not been so prevalent, but there have actually been some like massive advances in technology and economic shifts that are really changing things. These include the rise of China in terms of technology like 5G and AI, as well as the Belt and Road Initiative, which is just transforming developing economies. And of course, what's so fascinating, and I'm crediting myself here, but the London Book Fair I went to earlier this year, and I was one of very few people at the presentation by China Literature on what they are doing. And I think that I was one of the few people who appreciated the impact of China Literature coming to the book fair. And I also mentioned earlier in the year the translation of a 100,000 word English book into Mandarin with 95% accuracy, and it took 30 seconds. So AI translation of books is a fascinating thing. So much is happening, and there are a couple of books that I want you to consider reading if you're interested in these big shifts. And the reason I'm putting them in this section is because these are my books of the year. So two books of the year: AI Superpowers, China, Silicon Valley, and the New World Order by Kai-Fu Lee. And this book, I listened to it and I was just like, whoa, I did not know that. This is incredible. And it's one of those books that made me feel, well, both of these books. The other book is The New Silk Roads, The Present and Future of the World by Peter Frankopan. And I heard Peter speak just before I left to go to New Zealand, and has blown my mind. So these two books, these are my recommendations for you to read in order to kind of step way, way, way above things like the technical issues of Amazon publishing, for example. These are things that, I don't want to go on too much about it, but I absolutely recommend these two books. Also, subscribe to the New Publishing Standard for global publishing news, and also listen to the Exponential Wisdom podcast with Peter Diamandis and Dan Sullivan. These are some of the things that this year have helped me think about some of the bigger issues that will face us, not just as writers, but as people. This is not financial advice, by the way, but my response to these books is to double down on investing in China and Silk Road countries through index funds. And again, this is not financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor, but also moving up plans to go to China, particularly Shenzhen. And I really want to see what's going on for myself. Really fascinated. I actually learn a lot by being in an environment. I tend to notice things like, for example, when we went to Auckland, I really noticed that you could pay with WeChat, and you could also use Alipay in the shops in New Zealand, which you can't do here in Britain because New Zealand and Australia have a lot of Chinese and Asian business because of where they are in the world. And so that was fascinating to me. But for example, when I went to San Francisco, I saw this future of meat-free and vegan and how everyone was eating. And this trend is just starting to take hold in the UK. So I kind of feel like I do love to see what's going on in a place. So I will obviously continue sharing what I learn with you over time. But in terms of a question for you to think about in this section, and I've really had to face up to this because, you know, I'm in Britain, and Britain often, well, I think with Brexit, with Trump, you know, we think we're the centre of the universe. And when I mean, particularly the Frankopan book, The New Silk Roads, if you listen to that, and again, I listen to that on audiobook, if you listen to that, you're going to be like, oh, okay, maybe we're not the center of the universe. And this is a really good attitude to have, I think. And how can we ride these waves? I really feel like I've had a bit of a mindset shift around that. So question for you: what do you need to let go of in terms of your beliefs about publishing or how the world is? I think we need to challenge our mindset around a lot of stuff. Does your opinion serve you now and into the future? And is it time to get a new perspective on whatever you are attached to? What do you need to learn in order to sort of facilitate an up-to-date opinion rather than relying on old stereotypes? And when I've talked about this book, AI Superpowers, literally I have just heard over and over again the same stereotypes rolled out, which Kai-Fu Lee really addresses in that book. So yeah, hopefully you will find those books useful. As ever, I really try to expand your mind on the show. So that's AI Superpowers and The New Silk Roads. All right, so let's get into my goals for 2018, what I achieved and what I missed. So first of all, the Creative Pen website and podcast. I have done another year of the blog and the podcast, and I'm really happy that I still get emails and tweets every day that demonstrate I'm still useful, even though there are so many voices. So I did my 10-year anniversary post, so you can check that out for lessons learned and tips. And of course, thank you to everyone. If you have bought my books or courses, if you support the show on Patreon, if you've clicked on my affiliate links, used my tutorials, or shared the site with anyone in person, social media, etc. I really, really appreciate your help in keeping my creative business sustainable. And as ever, I hope to continue being useful to you as we go forward. So some of the things I said I would do. I said I would revamp the website around pathways, and indeed I have done that. So if you go to thecreativepen.com/resources, you can now find 6 different landing pages so you can choose your own adventure through the material. And those are write a novel, write nonfiction, publishing, marketing, make a living, writing, and the author mindset. So those are now landing pages. So because of course there are thousands of articles and all kinds of things on the site. So that kind of helps the navigation through the material. I also did segment my author blueprint email list. So if you do sign up for the blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint, you will then get a choice of clicking what you're most interested in terms of those 6 topics, and you will get a different autoresponder sequence. Now, this was a major piece of work, and I wanted to mention this. Well, one, I said I would do it and I did do it, but also many of you are at the point now where you need to segment your email list. And of course, it took me 10 years, but it's much easier now. And of course, I use ConvertKit. I have a tutorial on that at thecreativepen.com/author website. There are links there for how to use ConvertKit, that type of thing. But essentially, using tagging, I can now do better, help people in a more effective way. Because it used to be that if you sign up for the blueprint, you would just get the same as everyone else. But now someone who might want to write a novel and has never written before can get different information to someone who just wants to make more money, for example. So that was a big piece of work, but really necessary. Also a big piece of work that I was not expecting and that I didn't say I was going to do. I mean, this is the reality, people, the reality of running your own business and having things like websites and things, and, you know, is that you have to do this type of maintenance work as well. So GDPR was one of the fun things that we tackled earlier in the year. And again, short-term pain for something that I think is really worthwhile, which is codifying respect for your email list and data protection. We all want data protection. So I think that GDPR is a good thing. And I think more and more, we're going to see more and more countries adopting this type of data protection regulation. I have, there is a workshop on GDPR. If you haven't yet tackled it, you can go to thecreativepen.com/GDPR help. And that is a really good free webinar on GDPR. And I use that and the reference material there to do all of my privacy policy and all of my cookie stuff and blah, blah, blah. But basically, GDPR was one of those things, one of those admin things that was necessary. But boy, I did not plan for it. So sometimes you just have to do what comes along. I also said I would revamp my YouTube channel, and indeed I did. What is so, and of course, I put all my interviews on YouTube, but this year I also did a whole load of short videos answering questions, covering common questions around writing, publishing, book marketing, and mindset stuff. And I've added nearly 10,000 subscribers, so we're at 26,000 plus subscribers, over 1.8 million views of the YouTube channel. And also, what is so crazy is my watch time total. So people have watched my videos for nearly 33 years. 33 years of people of collective time watching my videos. That is really crazy. Pretty is mad. But I still am not a massive video. I don't find video easy. I find it really hard. And so I stopped doing those extra videos to focus on writing and podcasting. I will still post the occasional video on YouTube. And of course, the weekly podcast interviews will still go on YouTube. I also said I would do some mini courses on Teachable, and I actually did a significant course, How to Write Nonfiction, which lots of people are doing, and also I did do one mini course, Content Marketing for Fiction. So How to Write Nonfiction went along with the book, which came out mid-year, and yeah. Anyway, you can find all my courses at thecreativepen.com/learn. And I really like having courses. Again, if you are looking to make multiple streams of income, then having evergreen courses can be really useful. Whatever you are writing or doing or whatever, it's just, and I don't do spike launches or anything. These are just evergreen courses, so you can buy them anytime, and they are just a kind of slow drip form of extra income. And I do like having multiple streams of income, and I do like helping people, so I feel like that is a good option. Also, of course, How to Write Nonfiction is also a book, so turning your books into other formats and other ways that people can experience them is really important. So that's kind of what I've done with the Creative Pen and the website and the podcast and serving authors in that way. So then nonfiction as Joanna Penn, writing nonfiction. So I did write How to Write Nonfiction, which is in ebook, print, large print, hardback and audio formats, as well as workbook and multimedia course version. So it really was the first book that I did in every format. Really happy with that. The book, interestingly, it turned out to be a lot more intensive than I expected. I thought it was going to be a short book, and it was a lot bigger. It's one of my biggest nonfiction books, actually, and it turned out to be a lot more intensive and a lot more personal than I expected. But I really enjoyed it, and from the reviews, it's been useful for other authors, and I'm actually really proud of it because I feel like it codifies my own way of writing in many ways, much of which obviously crosses over to fiction. I did say I would write How to Write a Novel, but and I do have 90,000 words plus in a Scrivener folder, but it's too big of a project for me. I've looked at it several times and then backed away, just going, oh no, I just can't do that. But I do have a multimedia course version of this, How to Write a Novel on Teachable. It's just easier in this, in my case, to do a course than a book on how to write a novel because, oh, just so much I want to say. So I'll save that for another occasion. I also said I would write the shadow book, which I've mentioned for years now, but I've not been in the right headspace, and I also don't know when I will be. So I'm really parking that project. I have a Scrivener folder. I put stuff in it sometimes, but I actually think that book will bubble up eventually, and I might write it under JF Pen, and it will be all the richer for waiting. So if you're someone who would like the shadow book, and there are many of you who keep saying that you want it, sorry. I will do it eventually. Like, it will bubble up eventually, but not yet. I said I would do more nonfiction audiobooks. The Healthy Writer and How to Write Nonfiction came along this year, and most of my other nonfiction is available. I have plans for more next year. So as JF Penn, writing thrillers and dark fantasy. So at the beginning of the year, I actually focused on screenplays. I adapted Map of Shadows to a feature film screenplay, did a great course at the National Film and Television School. And when I pitched it, they told me it would cost over $100 million to make because it's such a big scope movie. But and I learned a big lesson, which is all my books have a huge scope, although I do have some ideas. Like, I haven't, okay, let me read what I wrote and then I will reflect on it. I have written on my blog, I learned that the script aspect is only one part of screenwriting, and I don't have the time to commit to learning a new industry and selling my scripts, so I put that aside to concentrate on novels. But of course, I write that and I still want to do screenplays. I keep coming back to it. I've got some ideas. So it is on hold because I've got so much else I want to do. But yeah, the screenplays at the beginning of the year. I think the lesson I learned, you know, I learned those two big lessons, which is you can't write $100 million movie for your first script. And secondly, you have to learn how to sell scripts as well as write them, which is a truth we have in novels and nonfiction and books in general. You have to sell them as well as write them. So yeah, for now, I'm really happy I did those courses because I learned a lot about story, but I've put that aside. I did then write Valley of Dry Bones, arcane thriller number 10, which ties together San Francisco, New Orleans and Spain in a race against time to find an ancient relic that can raise the dead. Da da da. Yeah, so one of my big novels that will cost, oh, probably $100 million again. It really is a sort of round the world fun romp. I did say I would write two other novels, but I haven't actually written any more this year, although I have a plan for the next Matt Walker dark fantasy. Yeah, I also said I was going to put fiction audio on hold for 2018, but in the second half of the year, I really sort of discovered the changes to the market that are coming in 2019, and in fact have started now with Findaway Voices distributing to Storytel, and the expansion of Storytel is just incredible, and it has rekindled my enthusiasm for fiction audio. And I have been having voice coaching to narrate my own fiction, which I've actually found incredible for both my personal development around confidence, I think, in speaking my fiction aloud. Like, I really think it's changed me in terms of, I think I can read my fiction in public. I haven't yet done it, but I feel like I have crossed a line between reading my work aloud and performing my work. And it's helped me very much with character voice, because I have ascribed characteristics to my characters and just really felt that I've embodied my characters in a much stronger way, which is very exciting. So I didn't quite have time, because I, you know, just was exhausted in December, beginning of December, when I was going to do it. But I am going to be recording my short story collection, 1,000 Fiendish Angels, in the next month, basically, possibly in the next 2 weeks. So looking forward to that. I've also really edited the stories like hardcore for narration. It's made a huge difference to my writing, because when you read things aloud, you have to edit for sound and as well as word choice. So really interesting. That will be coming soon. And then just a couple of other little things. The Sweet Romances, Penny Appleton, this year, my mum came on the podcast and we talked about writing as Penny Appleton, and also why we decided to part ways amicably and pursue our writing separately rather than continue co-writing. And I'm really happy that I was able to help my mum start a new writing career in her 70s, and she's really enjoying her writing. But I'm really happy to be back to my dark side, and my mum is writing her sweet romance and women's fiction. So yeah, and she's progressing with that. We may end up putting out a couple more books under the name Penny Appleton, because the writing will be similar, and then she will be using a different name as well. But you can that episode is sort of earlier in the year if you want to listen to me and my mum having a bit of a laugh. And then also the healthy writer, I always want to mention like the healthy writer side of things, because this time last year when we put out the healthy writer book with Dr. Ewan Lawson, I feel like it's helped a lot of people this year, and I wanted to mention it again right now. Go get the healthy writer, or you can listen to it in audiobook. Really think about how we're going to be healthy. And this year I continued doing my big walks. I did I stopped about halfway through the year. May it was, whenever we were in the Isle of Wight, I kind of hurt my hip, and so I've been doubling down on yoga in the second half of this year, doing a lot of yoga. And so really happy with my functional movement. My ability to do a lot of yoga stuff has got better, and better, I put in inverted commas, you don't have to be good at yoga, but you know, it's really helped my functional movement, my back pain, that type of thing. And I have some healthy writer goals for 2019 that I will talk about in the next show. So that is all I'm going to talk about today. I would love to know about your 2018 goals. How did they go? What are you celebrating? Did you learn any lessons? Did you achieve things? Why didn't you, if you changed your goals or whatever? So please do leave a comment on the show notes. Just go to thecreativepen.com/podcasts and just choose episode, whatever it is, 409. And you can put your comments there about the year ahead. So I hope you have enjoyed my 2018 year-end roundup, and I hope you have made time to reflect on your 2018 and what you achieved. So let's celebrate success as we move into the new year. And if there were things that you didn't quite make or goals you didn't achieve, then maybe just reflect on why, and don't beat yourself up about it, but you know, think about, why did you change your goals? And of course, we always change our goals. Do you need to do something different in 2019? And I will be doing another show tomorrow on 1st of January 2019 to go through my goals for the year and a look ahead at some of the themes I think will be critical for authors as we go forward. As ever, getting excited about the future. So happy writing, and I'll be back soon. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at thecreativepen.com/podcast. You can also get your free author blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at thecreativepen or find me on Facebook at thecreativepen. See you next time.